In the center of the page, you see the four immeasurables in English. So let's read that three times. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37, and you'll see two mantras at the bottom of the page. Tenrei Six Mantra is for the Buddha of Great Compassion. Green Tara for the Deity of Enlightened Activity. So let's chant Tenrei Six Mantra eight times, and then Green Tara's Mantra seven times.
What happened to Tilden? Good morning.
Good morning.
How's the weather? long time ago when I was living with Stephanie, so I lived with them like 9 years. So I don't turn on heat. So when people come to see me and they say, Krishna, it's very cold, I say, you came to Tibet. Short meditation, okay, short meditation, so. to check our mindset. Then if your mind has been disturbed, you know, if your mind has been disturbed by some things, you know, so then do breathing meditations. Do breathing meditations, so focus on your breath. If you find out your mind is neutral, so then please try to generate some positive thought. Okay, positive thought. If you find out your mind has been disturbed, then exhale forcefully and imagine that your disturbing thought, you know, goes out of your body and out of the house and out of the universe. So then, you know, do 21 breathing meditations. Okay. So, There's a few questions sitting there probably now more than 2 weeks. So I'm going to read those questions and then... Hello, sir. Hello. It says, hello. Hello, sir. This is Sam. Not this Sam. Questions, I have for you is, why did you decide to come to this state? So I sometimes jokingly tell you, that Jesus called me to come here. No, just joking. So the question, I don't remember, one of the members who's driving me to the center, then she asked, is it Donasi? I think maybe somebody, I don't remember. Then I said, no, that Jesus called me to come here to Bible Belt State. You know, so here, the spiritual leader, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, probably some of you probably met Lama Zopa Rinpoche, is the spiritual director of all the FMT centers. You know, they have like now 167 centers, you know, all over the world. They need teachers, so then they usually look teachers in the monastery to find, you know, to send the different part of the state. So besides my karmic connection with North Carolina, so besides that, so then while I finished my old education in the Salem Monastery, I was in the Jume Tantric College doing my 1 year Tantra course there. So then I received the invitations from Lama Zopa Rinpoche to asking me to come here to waste your time. So usually that how it works, like they choose a few people, then Rinpoche do divinations, you know, using the dice, you know, so then one of them comes out good, so then Rinpoche choose that person to send. So probably I came out of good, out of maybe three geishas. So then, of course, then I went to my teacher to report my teacher. So then he said, okay, you can go. So then that's how I came. Okay, oh yeah. So now the second question is, how can I have a desire to end suffering of all sentient beings? What they desire, being rooted in attachment? How can I have a desire to end suffering all sentient beings? That's very, you know, like, profound question. So, how can I have a desire to end? First, I'm answering these questions based on the knowledge, you know, that I gained studying Buddhism last 35 years, so, not based on my experience. I have no experience. What I do, I wake up 11 o'clock in the morning. So I do nothing. Basically, I waste my time. It's probably more here than in the monastery. Monastery, you have to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:35 every day. Here, you know, nobody wakes me up, so I sleep. So, that question leads back to the Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths. The first teaching that Buddha gave after he was enlightened, Four Noble Truths. So, without having a deeper understanding of Four Noble Truths, there will be no desire, there will be no authentic desire to end suffering of all sentient beings. Yes, there will be no desire. No, like genuine sincere desire will not take place if we don't understand the Four Noble Truths. Not just understand, you know, to, how is it, to deeper understanding of Four Noble Truths. That's why we have problems to develop compassion towards all living beings. Because we don't, our understanding of no suffering doesn't go very deep. How can I have a desire to end suffering all sentient beings? So, if you elaborate Four Noble Truths, then it becomes 12 links. You know? So when you go out of the center, you see the painting there, 12 links. It explains our existence. Our existence. Not only existence for people who have, you know, like live in a poor country. No. It explains the existence of all breathing living beings. Not just people in poor countries. So the cycles, you know, it just go round and round and round and round. It never ends. So there's, you know, there's like answers based on the knowledge, okay? Desires. Once you have deeper understanding of Four Noble Truths, then you gain this kind of urge to free yourself, liberate yourself from the samsara. You get that, you know, very strong feeling or desire to liberate yourself from the samsara without second or delay. So then when you look around, then you have, you know, this, you will gain, eventually gain this authentic, sincere, genuine desire to free all being living beings from the, you know, the cycles, cyclic existence, okay? So now, what the desire being rooted in attachment. So that's an interesting question. So that's something we need to discuss. So now first, you know, what is attachment? You know, in Buddhism, according to Buddhist philosophy, the way we study, you know, all these different types of mindset, you know, anger, desire, attachment, jealousy, each one of them has definitions. Definitions? So now the question is, what is the definition of attachment? So that mindset, that desire is more like bodhicitta. How can I have desire to end suffering all sentient beings? Whoever asking this question, that question, the first part of the question is bodhicitta. When you have bodhicitta, then that's how, you know, that's how you think to free or to benefit every breathing living beings. This kind of desire will take place, yes, when you have bodhicitta, when you meditate on bodhicitta. When you have meditation on bodhicitta, so then you think like that, you know. Without bodhicitta, nobody thinks, you know, to ending suffering of all living beings, nobody. Altruistic attitude or bodhicitta. So generally speaking, the definition of attachment, you know, when you based on that, you are looking at one object, then you kind of like decorate that object, you know, you kind of say, superimpose, make it bigger, you know. Even though it's like one inch, you make it like 1 foot. You know, so mainly object which has color and shape, generally speaking, it's not definite, but generally speaking, attachment, how the attachment arises, is pretty much, generally speaking, based on color and shape. Then when you think about the five senses, you know, they get a little bit complicated. You know, the sound doesn't have shape and color. the taste doesn't shape the color. You know, people do become attached to taste, shape, and smell. So, but you have to have the knowledge. Chumiji, namdo chumiji. Namtok means, you know, something that you exaggerate, something you impose, something you make it bigger. Whatever you are making bigger, it's not there. Your mind just made it up. It's not there. So, bodhicitta, liberation, enlightenment itself, it is free from attachments. So what do you think? What do you think? Can you become attached to liberations? Can you become attached to liberations? If yes, that's very good answer. That's very good news. If you become attached to enlightenment, liberations. Do anybody become attached to the holy image? Anybody become attached? So I don't know. So I don't have a clear answer. Sorry, okay, I don't have a clear answer. Huh? So the most important thing here, the definition of attachment, so needs to think about that. So now the second, where the baby goes when they die, so. Maybe some of you know, I don't know where they go. Do they have peace? Later they die or pass away? I don't want to say anything because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. The last part, they die or pass away. You know, anything that grows, it will, anything that grows, the conclusion of birth is death. Whether we like or not, that's the fact, you know. When you look at the histories, there's all these powerful king and queens, and all this, you know, spiritual masters, they are now gone. They are no longer here. That clearly shows this in everything, you know, everything like change, everything that change, you know. So now I do have like trees in my backyard called persimmon tree. Around October, I'm very bad in the seasons, four seasons. So anyway, so right now it looks like skeletons. There's not even one leaf there, Next year, around September, August, June, July, August, then start to grow all the leaves. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to grow, everything grow and flowers. Then it, around October, it produced 200 fruit. So right now, if you point the tree, tell somebody, oh, that tree will produce 200 fruit, nobody believes it looks like a skeleton. That's not impermanent, it change. So, the end, it's not going to be look exactly the same as beginning. Beginning is something different and end, you know, like that. Then, Kewe Pamar Chivas, conclusion of birth is dead. The conclusion of the, become so powerful, then at the end, it become nothing. You know, like that. So there's the last part. And the first two part of the question, so I don't know what to say. So now there's two more. How should parents teach their children how to solve their problems? Oh, yeah. So my question is, do we have problems or do they have problems? Who has problems? I find that out, you know, so before I thought they have problems, it turns out that not their problems, I'm the one who has problems, a lot more stress. So they're having good time. That's what they do. When they wake up, they just want to play. That's all they do. They just want to play. No, not necessarily thinking to harm someone, say something bad things, motivate themselves to harm. No, they just want to play. That's what they do. So then, you know, they have like unexhaustible energies. You can catch up. You can keep up with that. So they run around, they go back and they run down upstairs and you know, they talk, they open everything, they touch everything, they throw everything everywhere. They don't have any stress. Then you slowly, you generate all kind of stress, you know. So then you feel like, I'm not talking about your case, I'm talking about my case. Then you feel like, oh, now maybe you need to teach them how to calm down. Calm down. So then, you know, if you make noise, if you throw things, that's okay, no problem. If someone else does that, then that's the end of the world. That's a big problem. So then you feel like you have to train them, educate them, teach them from now on. So I did have experience, you know, also maybe something to do with the environment too. You know, in the monastery, we do have kids. Like a lot of kids, you know, like from five above, you know, then all teenagers, all kinds of, maybe environment, you know. children are children, kids, they're children, they doesn't matter whether they're in the monastery, they're out of the monastery, so they are two children, so they act like kids, you know, they play, so they argue, so then, one time I took, I think four little monks, they're all like about nine, four of them, took them to give them some fun, took them to place called Mysore, big city. Then it become nightmare. You know? So in the monastery we don't have TV. So when you go to the big city, then you in the room there's TV. So they watch TV. So then they watch. One person watched something. One person watched something. Then they are fighting like I'm the only one. So they have to think about to. So then I just thinking to bring them to the restaurant is like so much stress. So I'm just worried how they're going to act, you know. So I don't want them to fight there, you know. So I put them in the room. Then I went to get the dinner, so they come back. So then when coming from Mysore to Manasur in the car, they're fighting. That's what they do. So then, so I did not teach them how to meditate. That thought never occurred. Here, when my nephew came down, and that thought did occur, I thought, I need to teach him some meditation, how to keep him calm. I taught him nine round breathing meditations to calm down. So, he did that, you know, so I don't know how much that helped him, so he did that because I asked him. So the next day, no progress, same thing. Same thing. So going outside, ringing the bell, then I thought somebody's coming, then I open the door, then there's him, then they go around again, you know. So then, yeah, then he's having great time, he's just playing. I'm the one who's like really now stressed out. So then he's doing me like this. But then I realized, because I'm the one who did nine now breathing meditation. You know, we are so uptight with certain ideas that we created, you know, so because my daily routine is all upside down. I can do anything. You know, so then, because of that, there's some stress because of that. So then, you know, everything, you know, so then everything becomes, one thing becomes problem, then everything becomes, things that become problems. So, I have sympathy, I sympathize with you. And I think the best thing is, you know, maybe the parents to get together here, discuss what can be done. How and can they teach them to deal with frustration when the problem cannot be solved? It's hard. It's very hard for children. It's very hard. So I think in the West that you have many like skill. You know, many skill how to deal with that in monastery. You know, so you get spanked. So in the puja, if you sleep, nobody says, "Oh, you don't sleep. Please wake up." You know, so. It's not a good time to sleep. You don't sleep. You know, it's not poison. They don't say anything. Just pull your ears up. That's how you wake. That's how they wake you up. So different environment. Oh, so please, you know, talk to each other. So last. What are the dakas and dakinis? Dakas, you know, the male practitioners form of celestial beings. Female practitioners form of celestial beings called dakinis. Dakinis, okay, huh? These are not human. These are celestial beings, but the great practitioners, So then, you know, tonight there will be like purification practice. That, you know, like so many people comes, you know, to this particular practice before New Year's Eve. So I would like to explain a little bit, you know, from the Buddhist point of view, what the purification means and how it's been done. Okay. Is okay? Yeah. Yeah. So we have done things in our life that we don't really appreciate, you know. So verbally, physically, mentally, we all, including myself, we all, did something that's not joyful, something that we rejoice. So, when we think about that, it hurts. It hurts. So, now what do you do? What do you do? The question is, what do you do? It's already done. It's already done. No, it's already past. What do you do for that, and what do we do for, you know, something that we are going to do, or something we are thinking to do, you know, something that's not very joyful for yourself, not very joyful for other people. What can be done? You can say, you know, you could call guilt. Or you can call downfall, or you can, you know, come up with any so many different kind of terms, you know, downfall, you know, the negative action, the negative karma, so on and so forth. But the thing is, you know, when you... and also important to remember, samsara, there's nothing, nobody's perfect. Nobody's, everybody makes mistake. Nobody's perfect. If, like, say, semu-tyawa, that's called semu-tyawa. Semu means, there's tam. Tyawa means rosary. No, semu-tyawa. That's the name of the persons. Who has strong desire to do some kind of spiritual practice, but met the wrong guide. And advise him that he should kill 1,000 people and wear their thumb as a rosary, then he will be liberated. He managed to kill 999 people. He killed. The last person that he met is Shakyamuni Buddha. He's chasing in India. He's chasing Shakyamuni Buddha. So that's the last person. That's the last cause thumb. That he needed, then he chased him. Then each time when he approached people, they are so afraid, you know. So when he approached Buddha, there's no expression of fear in anything. Then he said, "How come you are not running?" I said, and Buddha said, "You are the one who's running. I'm not who's running. You are the one who's running." So then he said, "How come that you're so calm? Because I'm about to kill you," he said. Then that's, you know, because maybe all the conditions for him to train all come together. So then that's how Buddha, you know, has to subdue his mind. Then eventually he get ordained, and all the people in the town is not very happy. So they don't trust him because he used to kill people. Eventually he liberated himself from the samsara. Someone who killed 999 people, not animal, people. If that person has opportunity to purify, think about that. If that person has opportunity to purify, liberate himself. So of course we do have, you know, opportunities, we do have chance. We do have chance. How you say in America, you do have shot. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you do have shot. Shot. So, what we do, we don't, it's not good to just sit around and thinking about something negative, out of a negative mindset and doing nothing. That's not good. You can think about, according to Buddhist purification practice, you can think about something negative out of positive mindset. Am I making sense? Is it possible? Is it possible to think something negative out of positive mind? Oh, that's what you do. You think about something negative out of positive mindset, then what do? You purify them. The end is that feeling bad, you feel good. Feeling good will not, you know, come automatically. You know, feeling good, we must do something, right? We must do something. Otherwise, you don't just feel good for nothing. Huh? So, tonight, practice like purify, okay? So, what do? You use this black sesame seed. So, traditionally, you make figure. I think like the right hand or a plate or doesn't matter in the container. You make the figure of scorpion shape. Or you can make, you know, doesn't have to be scorpion. It can be any image. It doesn't have to be scorpion. But that's what the text mentions. Digba rather. So you make that figure, then you visualize all the, you know, like the bad feeling by, you know, verbal action, physical action, mental action, all the bad feeling. You have to visualize that kind of like symbolize that in a figure, the man out of black sesame seed, the figure of a scorpion. You have to visualize that. That is all of that, and all that symbolize all the bad feeling from many years, or maybe in the last many, many years. So you just visualize very strongly, you know, symbolize that. Then you throw that into fire. Then burn it to the ashes. So then new year begin, everything begin new beginning. In our Tibetan traditions, so we paint our house, we paint it, that's the only time you paint, you know, so you don't paint out of fun, you know, fun. Oh, I don't like this color, maybe I don't like painting. No, no. In my hometown, there's a New Year Eve, the mother, especially the mother, becomes so busy. If you have many children, of course, in their generation, they have like 7, 6, 5, 3, 4 kids. In my hometown, that's the only day you take shower once a year. So there's no hot water, so you have to heat it up all the waters. So then, you know, outside it's like freezing cold. It's like minus probably 20 or 25 something. You can take shower outside. And inside, the bedroom is the small bedroom. There's like everybody sleeps there. Everybody, the father and mother, two kids with the mother, two kids with the father, then one on the floor. Everybody in one room sleep there. The one room they dedicated for the altar. No, nobody sleeps there. So each time when I visited my family from monastery, that's 1,000 miles. I went to monastery when I was 7 years old. So every 3 or 4 years I get a chance to go to see them. 1 month, 2 months. So then I go there, so now I'm monk. So they put me in the altar room, which I don't want to sleep there at all. So it's like dark and it's like cold. I want to sleep with them in the one room, everybody sit around. In the middle, there's like can. Oil, that brings oil. So you make the stove, then you put the wood, then you burn, and the smoke goes out. And if that room is kind of warm, altar room is cold. So it's dark, I'm kind of scared, I don't want to sleep there. So then they say, oh, you are wrong, you're supposed to sleep in the altar room. So they put the blanket that I can't hardly move. You know, so much blanket, I cannot move. So then sometimes I beg my brother to sleep with me. So then, like that. Anyway, so that's not a part of prediction time. So there's no other reason. What I'm trying to say is like, so then New Year Eve, you know, you clean your room and like paint, you know, like, because like there's no, you burn wood over the year, everything becomes dark, you know, dark, all smoke, dark. So there's no paint. We don't have paint. What do? You buy stack of newspaper. Then you buy them by kilos. Then you boil like flour. Then you make it like kind of liquid, like glue made out of flour, not just glue. So then you put all then put the newspaper. Then you put it there. Room, there's no one color. It's not all kind of colors, you know. But you don't see the dark. It's covered with all the newspaper, all kind of things, you know, like house, building, car, all kind of things. So then basically try to cover the dark created by smoke. So there's a lot of work, yeah. So then then you take showers, take clean everything. And if you owe some money and they try very hard to pay that loan, then they want to start New Year, everything new. No loan, no that, everything. So the New Year, then you wear nice clothes. Here, everybody wear nice clothes. New Year, that's the only time you wear new clothes. there will be no new clothes during the throughout the year. There's no Father's Day, no Mother's Day, no Christmas. No, there's many holidays here, so there's nothing. Only New Year. So then here is New Year, how many days? One day? We celebrate 15 days, yeah. So people in my village, Tibetan people do know how to party. 15 days, goes on and on 15 days. Then after that, no party. Just hard work, all year hard work, no party, no money. Like that, so now to start the new year from fresh, physically. So you all the shower now, you kind of physically kind of clean, brand new clothes. When you look around, there's no darkness, everything's covered by newspaper. And then, so there's cleansing. So now here, yeah, that's what, when you think about past, something that bothers your mind, you purify them. No, you purify them. So, then you know, in order to purify them, there's like four powers, it's called four powers. Four power, and the first one is the power of dependence. According to Buddhism, what you do, every practice, begin with the refuge in Buddhist prayer. So that's like power of dependence, refuge in Buddhist prayer. So, if you fall down on the ground, then you stand up leaning on the ground. So then if you hurt someone, so then sincerely, like I say, ask forgiveness or, apologize. Power of dependence. So now the second one is number sunjibhya, regret. Regret. No? Regret can be positive or can be negative, both. Regretting towards something negative. So that's very important. Regretting towards something negative is positive. Regretting towards something positive, that's negative. So there's no word guilt, it's been used. The word guilt doesn't exist in Tibetan language. No, it's a regret. I regret. Instead of saying, I feel guilty, I regret. I very much regret. So there's a second power, okay, regret. So then, after that, I very much regret, almost not just regret, strong regret. So let's say there are three persons, they all took poisons. One person is dead. One person is very sick. One person not trusting, that person, the last person is thinking, from now on, I should not. I very much regret taking that as a poison. So from now on, that kind of regret, not just regret from mouth, really regret, no regret. So if you have that regret, so then there's that third power. Third power will be now on, maybe this afternoon, or maybe one day, 1 minute, 1 second. 1 year, 1 month, like something like that, I will not repeat same actions. That's the third power. Then the fourth power is like power of antidote. So that in there, so then you do this tonight, by reciting the Vajradhara mantras, then reciting the name of holy beings, and meditating on emptiness, and then, seeing holy objects and going around the holy objects, that we have here outside stupa was built. You go around there, it purifies. And when you go outside, there's prayer will, So when you turn with the positive intentions to benefit all breathing living beings, that purifies. Then reciting mantras, and doing any good service, you know, purifies, okay? So that's the power antidote. So then tonight, I think, you know, it is good to all my friends here, you come here, and the weather is very cold, and you come here to purify everything. So then make sure that you remember those four powers, so before you do, then you, if you can make figure, that's good. If you can make figure, just visualize. This is all symbolized, all the feeling, bad feelings that you are cleansing, and turn that into ashes and burn. Then new year, then you start from new mindset for your own happiness. Yes, for your own happiness. Oh. Another example they use, you know, bad feeling do pull us down. But that bad feeling is like piece of aluminium. aluminium. It is like this, it will sink. If you make it flat, it will not sink. That means if you know how to purify, you will not sink. If you don't know how to purify, then you will sink. That's the example they use, okay? So that's what we do. You feel something bad, then you know, like laundry. If your mind is bothered by laundry, you just think about laundry, but you don't do laundry. Then that laundry will be there, you know, as long as you do clean. You know, so you can buy all kinds of different types, there are so many different brands of soap that you can buy to clean dishes, all kind of, you know, so. And a person like me, you know, sometimes, it's very hard. Because in there, there's only one to clean. There's no 100 different toothbrush. There's one toothbrush. No, you just buy this to clean your tooth. And here, then you get confused which one is used. Oh, this is for cleaning dishes. This is for head. This is for nose. This is for ear. So many things. And even just for a person like me, is buying something to clean the bathroom is hard. Sometimes you get wrong thing. We have no idea which one clean bath. There are so many different things. You know, the aisles are dedicated. But that's the result of your positive karma. That's the result of American positive karma. That you have so much access to so many things, you know, food, drinks, clothes. When you go to other countries, none. Remote part of Nepal, there's none. There's none, zero. It's none. So you wear clothes for months and months, then probably you wash after 1 month. So then you wait till you dry up, you know. But people that look miserable, they look happy. So that says something, you know. It's not happiness, like, it's not about how much you possess. It's not like, of course you have to have possessions, you know. Human happiness, without possession, there is no human happiness. But possession has to have limit. Otherwise, you know. So anyway, so tonight, four power. So that's, in Buddhism, that's what you do, you know. You remember the four power, then you do whatever purification practice, that comes antidote, you recite mantra, you do meditation on emptiness, and you recite the text that talks about emptiness. Then you say, you know, like, name of the holy beings, and you say the mantra, then you do prostrations. That is the posture, you go around the holy, you know, like, object, and you help to clean the holy object, you know, you build holy object, so on and so forth, okay? So then, in the dream, there's some kind of sign, some kind of sign, you know, wearing nice clothes, taking shower, or like hiking on the mountain, seeing like sun and moon, seeing that, you know, your teacher and monks and nuns, and like then probably, you know, throwing up something disgusting, all of that is purification sign. It's called purification sign. Oh. The life, the present life is not determined by the past. Not determined by the past. The present moment is not determined by past. Past is the past. The present is the present, you know? So this moment is very, this moment is very critical. This moment is very important. Okay? This is it. So then, like, the mantra. So mantra, this is the fact that you don't need to wait for all the end of the new year. You can do, you know, at home whenever you like. Or, maybe repeat after me this mantra I just said. Tonight you are going to say this mantra, then repeat after me. I'll just say a few times, maybe three times, okay? Om. Benza. Daka. Kaka. Kaye. Sawa. Tapam. Bami. Kuru. Soha. Om. Benza. Daka. Kaka. Kaye. Kaye. Sawa papam. Sawa papam. Bami. Kuru. Soha. Om benza daka. Kaka. Kai. Kai. Sawa papam. Bami. Also sawa papam. Dahana. Bami. Kuru soha. One more, because I made a mistake. Okay, one more. Om benza daka kaka kai kai sarva babam dahana bami kurusoha. So now the meaning of that mantra is, you know, you visualize this in the fire, you visualize this wrathful figure, like their mouth is wide open, you know, wide open. Benza Daka, that's the name of the figure. Benza Daka, huh? Okay, that's the wrathful figure. Just visualize wrathful figure. You know, you don't have to be very particular. Okay, just visualize a wrathful figure. The mouth is wide open. Just visualize that in the fire. Oh, so then you, whatever you are, you know, the sesame seed, the black sesame seed, which symbolize all the bad feelings that we had, you know, from many, many years or like that, visualize and make the figures, the scorpion figures, then visualize all this, all on your hand, they symbolize that. Then, on Benza Daka, calling that figure, on Benza Daka, calling the figure, Kaka means eat it. Then more emphasize, eat it, then you repeat this, say eat it four times, eat it, you know. Sava Papam, Sava means all, Papam means all the, there's no negativities, all the negativities, okay? Negativities, all the feeling, bad feelings, all of that, you know? Sarva, there's like all the sarva, papam, there's no, symbolize all the negativities, all the bad feelings, you know, symbolize that. Well, then bamikuru soa means like make it to ashes. Ashes, Vishnu Kuru Soha, and throw. Then you can throw again, there's no limit numbers you can throw, you know. I think right hand, use right hand. So then remember, for powers, you know, and especially particularly regret, you know, sake of your own happiness. The happiness comes from helping, benefiting others, you know, if it is possible. If not, at least restrain. Restrain from harming. Restrain from harming, the best help. Jiden dewa chinye ba tegu shinde dune jus. All the happiness that comes to you, if you wish happiness for all living beings. Jiden dewa chinye ba tegu shinde dune jus. Rani chinsu guba kunjigo. Rani chinsu. Always think about me. Always think about me, and always think about me. Eating, drinking coffee, always think about me. It's not good. It's not good. It's not a skillful way of, being happy. It's not skillful, it's not the best way to be happy. Okay, always think of me. Rani chinji, always me. That makes you very vulnerable. Vulnerable, not venerable. Vulnerable. Manam che sung, cherishing other is the door to all the happiness. Think about that. That's 650 years ago. It's already been said, almost 650 years ago. Teishin, dashin jebe, nanjola nyame nyingbo chepa chinjo. Therefore, I will take this practice in my heart. Exchanging oneself with others. Everybody. We all have problems. Doesn't matter how we look, how we smell, how we dress, we all have problems. We are not free from problems. We all have problems. Emotional problems, physical problems. As I've been saying, think something good. Think something good. It's not... So that's what we do. Think something good. Becoming Buddhist doesn't guarantee. Becoming Christian doesn't guarantee. But we all have ability to think something good. Think something good. So what is important? Important things, think something positive. Okay, think something good about yourself. Think something good about other people, other tradition, other religion, other cultures. Other cultures. That's very good. Very good. Yes. Yeah. It's very good. we do say, may all sentient beings have happiness and cause of happiness. If someone's getting better, we get jealous. That's no good. We should rejoice. Easy to say than done. But I'm the one who's saying it. So then you are also welcome to sit here to say. So I'm very happy to sit there, listen. Unfortunately, So if you think good, then you feel good. If you feel good, you will do good things. That's all matter. That's all what is matter. To become good human. Good human beings, to become good human beings. Not necessarily to become Buddhist or Christian. It doesn't matter. Level doesn't matter. What is important is to become good human beings. To see when you go to store, if somebody's in the store, the cashier, and the person nice, kind of smiling, you don't care if that person is Christian or Buddhist, believer or not believer, you just enjoy that person, because that person is nice, kind. Everybody enjoys. That's most important things. That we all, each and every human has responsibility, to produce happiness to others, So Mother Teresa said, what it costs to smile? It doesn't cost anything, So, His Holiness said, He meets people in the human level. He's not thinking he is a Dalai Lama. He's not meeting other people. Oh, I am Dalai Lama, I am Buddhist monk. He's not thinking that. This is all His Holiness. We put so much emphasis on secondary level differences. But we forget we are all human. You are, out of 6 billion human beings, you are one of them. We forget that. You are just one of the human beings. His Holiness says, for that, it reduced so much tension between other people. He just meets other person as a human being. Every second looking for happiness, every second, same like you, every second looking for happiness. And every second trying to avoid and try to overcome from suffering, same like, exactly like you. No differences. Christian, Buddhist, believer, not believer, everything equally, same. So, that's what we need to remember. His Holiness said, you know, emphasized so much, you know, basic human nature. You know, and we all need to remember that we are human being, one out of 7 billion human beings, we are one of them. So we all should remember, you know, every second, yes, every second, you, yes, every second, me, yes, looking for happiness, yes. The bird in my backyard, squirrel in my backyard, yes, they are looking for happiness. Yes, yeah. None of them looking for problem, they are looking for happiness, yes. If you can contribute to that, good. No, don't harm them. There's no reason. Very interesting. I'll tell you one story. The time is almost over, but I like to tell the story. Because of my, you know, I'm attached to these fruit trees. So, presumably fruit trees, I attach, and I think about that, how to protect the fruit. Even though squirrels, none of them own shop. Squirrel, none of them own shop. They are not there to collect my fruit and to make money. No. They're simply looking for fruit. But, me, you know, it's very hard. It's not easy. Very hard. We do say, oh, may all sentient beings have any causes of happiness. We do say that. And I myself say all the time. But when it comes down to practical level, it's not that easy. See, even the squirrel eating my fruit, I go like, oh, like that. No, so then, you know, it's very hard. It's very, very hard. Means, when I say my prayers, not always I think. That's the problem. Not I always think. It doesn't sink into my heart yet. So it's very interesting. Then you do all kind of things. You buy this, you know, spray. What's it called? Pepper spray. Yeah. Then there's something you can throw on the ground. Then you put net around. None of them work. Meanwhile, you spend so much energy and quite a bit of money to do this, you know. So then you do all kind of things, you know, like buy like fake snake. It works a little bit, then out there they find out it's fake. All kind of things, you know. So then, you know, like sometimes people, they go out of their mind too. So then last year I started feeding them. Under the bird feed, I just throw like a bunch of seed there, you know, every morning. Very interesting. None of them go to the fruit tree. But fruit is protected, it's less expensive. Less energy, I just go out there, throw them seed, bunch of seed. You know, so like if you throw like 2 cups, they can eat all day long. So then it's enjoy, you can enjoy watching them, how to eat them, you know, then all the bird, all the, then you suddenly rejoice, rather than chasing with a horse. Before you try to hold them on up the trees. You know, but still you don't give up, you just throw them and do that like that, you know. So that's very interesting, you know. Cherishing others is a door to protection for the fruit tree. So that's my own experience, you know. So I like, not easy, you know, like, happiness for all living beings is not that easy. This wonderful idea, when it's come down to practical level, it's not that easy at all. But, you know, so we can give up if you want to be happy. And all these texts been taught thousands of years ago suggest cherish others is the door to happiness. So need to, you know, need to give some thought, give you some thought. If you're interested to be happier, so then give some thought. That's the message they said, you know. But always thinking about me is brings all the problems. So with that, you know, so I will stop here. So then, please enjoy tonight purification practice, or this wonderful practice. So then, from now on, each time when you feel bad, you know, don't just sit around, don't just sit around and think something negative and do nothing. Please, you know, you could say mantra, you could meditate on emptiness, you can read about emptiness. There are so many things you can do. You can come here, if you have pet, you can come here with your pet and go around the stupa. It purifies. Okay? Oh yeah. Thank you.
In the gold prayer book, please turn to page 246, and we'll read the dedication from Master Shanti Devas for the Karyabhata. And then the white binder is on the back of that same page with the Kadamba Center prayers. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food, may the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rain and bountiful harvest. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as faith remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the mysteries of the world. Om Tare Tu, Tare Tu, Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu, Tare Tu, Re Soha.
So also on the behalf of 6 million Tibetan peoples, I wish you very, 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 very prosper New Year's, and also wish you long, healthy, happy life, not miserable life, long, healthy, happy life, no, not long, miserable life, long, healthy, happy life, and also prosperity and success, and yeah, so for New Year's,
okay, so just a couple of announcements, but first, let's all wish Geshe-la a Happy New Year. Mm-hmm. Happy New Year, Geshe-la! And then that Dorje Kajo purification practice begins tonight at 7 o'clock, so we'll start in here with some prayers and then we'll head outside. And then Elise has a message.
The Kadamba Center is affiliated with the Triangle Interfaith Alliance, so once we've purified all the negativities of this year, let's join together with people with good hearts of all faiths and walks of life, as Geshe-la is saying today, and let's renew our hope for peace. Renew our intention for the new year to come together and wish happiness and peace for all sentient beings. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday, the first Sunday in January, the 7th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there will be an interfaith prayer service being held at Pullen Baptist Church in their chapel behind the main church. Please join us and people of all faiths, all people with good hearts, to start the new year right with good intention. Thank you. Oh, and there's little flyers like this on the front cabinet.
Thanks, Elise. Hi, everyone. I'm Heather. I'm the new hospitality coordinator by myself. So today's a special day. We have Sunday tea time today. Has anybody attended a tea time before? Yeah, okay. So let's hope that we can continue this connection and engagement, and hopefully others can stay. So, it's an opportunity for us to sort of maybe debrief a little bit and talk about what we learned today and to connect with our Sangha as well and our teachers. Mm. But I just want to kind of share, for 2018, we have some new endeavors that are coming, and it's really exciting because we want to create space for us to engage with each other, to connect with one another, beyond our Sunday dharmas, as well as our spiritual programs throughout the week. We come in and we kind of learn a little bit for ourselves and have that personal growth. We also want to connect with each other and talk about that personal growth and that spiritual practice. And so you'll see more opportunities to engage and connect with each other here, as well as other places. So thank you, everyone. I hope to see you a little bit. It'll be outside right here, so please have some tea and some snacks. Thanks.
Okay, just a little update. We're going to give you guys a break for the annual appeal, and I'm just going to give you a quick update. No, nothing crazy is going to happen. And I'm not even teasing, because usually I would tease about that. So, the big news. You've heard about the unprecedented challenge. And last time we talked about two people had come to the table, sort of. That's the first year's theme we had, with Cindy and Glenn Dawson. I'm going to tell. Cindy and Glenn Dawson have offered $5,000 if three other people offered $5,000. So this has never been heard of at our center before, which is why we call it the unprecedented challenge. And so last time we reported that two people had come and offered. So let's have a drum roll. Have we got the third? We got the third one a week and a half ago. So this is just, Glenn and Cindy, we're just so grateful to you, because we didn't really know we had it in us. Of course, that's three people that had it in it. We can all rejoice in it, though. So if we rejoice in the fact that four people offered $5,000, that's $20,000 that just came to us out of the blue, really, because we weren't thinking that way. So thank you for pushing us to our limits, because we didn't know we could do that. So we're very grateful to you guys. Okay. So the new member challenge is over today, let's just say midnight tonight. We talked about, we are looking for about 20 new people. We've got most everybody in, so we just need a few more of you guys who, let's say in about the last 2.5 years, we're keeping it kind of loose, that if you come to the table, or let's see, we join the journey, I'm using 2 years ago theme. If you join the journey by offering to come and become a monthly supporter, or even just give a small amount of money, it can be a small amount. It's about creating the habit of generosity, supporting the center, supporting the teachings, making sure that this is available for you all the time. So you have to get, we get used to offering to Red Cross, to United Way. What do you guys give to? Throw some out. What does everybody give to? Nothing. Only comes here. What do you give to?
Save a foundation.
Eye surgery. What other people give to?
St. Jude's.
Humane Society.
Food Bank.
Where?
Food Bank.
Food Bank. Okay, what else?
Make a wish.
Animal shelters.
Local homeless shelters.
See?
The astronomy.
The box that shows up in front of him, not astronomy. The box that shows up in front of him. Awesome. So there's many ways that we're all giving, and this is just one more. We're not asking you to only give to us. We know that you give in many ways. So we're just creating the habit of supporting the teaching, supporting where we come to learn. So if we have a few more people that would step up And you can do that by, if you just put money in the box without your name, we wouldn't know you're part of the challenge. So just stick it in an envelope and put new member challenge on there. You don't even have to put your name. Or give online. Or and we'll tell you how to do that. Or send checks in or text give, where there's instructions everywhere how to text give, which is really easy and quite exciting because it's so easy. So those are the ways. And then we will be able to collect the money from people who have put money towards the challenge. So we really need a few more people to step up to that. We'll come with the Procrastinators Challenge next week. A lot of you love that part. Okay, so what's the practice that we added this year? Besides in-kind donations and service and financial, what's the last practice that you can join the journey with? Yeah, good. Circumambulations. So Donna has put together some beautiful things for us outside. Who has seen the gem box jar or the gem jars outside? You guys noticed it? Good. So there's four jars that have these colors, green, blue, aqua, and pink, or purple. And if you and they're related to different numbers. So there's instructions, and it's, oh, they all fell off the sign. Must be the weather. So that doesn't show anything. How are they going to know how to do that? Oh, I put the numbers on the jars. That's right. So the big one is 10. So if you go around 10 times, you just take a green gem and put it in the green in the big jar. Can you? I'm running out of hands. Carol Merrill or Vanna White will show you the place jar. So Donna just went around 10 times. You did it. So you. And then if you go around again, and let's say you. Let's say you did 17 or 15, then you can combine them, and you can put in different stones.
Combining.
I just went around once because I was lazy, so I just get one. So that's how you do it, and then we're going to collect these numbers every week. Amanda and myself will collect them, and we'll just post it to the website and our newsletter. And that way we will report, soon we'll be reporting our money mantras to Geshe-la, so we will report our circumambulations. So this is another way you can pledge them, too, on the pledge form, and then you can just complete it. If you haven't pledged, that's fine, too. Just all year long, even today starting, you can just keep putting stones in the jar, and we'll count them. So that's that. And we're going to put a practice. This is the practice sheet available to you about it. We're going to add, Don and I are going to compose another one with more practice, some things that you can, more mantras that you can say, more advice so that you can hold this. I think we're going to laminate it, right? And then you can go around the stupa and actually do a practice. You're always welcome, though, to just chat. I think Geshe-la has made it very clear that we can have fun. We can run around with our kids. We can bring the pets up. So you can make it a very light practice. You can make it a very deep practice. Whatever works for you works for us. Yes?
If we bring our pets around, do they count? Can we add those to the count?
Yes! They're a sentient being, right? I didn't think about that. Is that cool with you, Geshe-la? If we bring our dog around, do we get to count, too?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. So if we count all the beings that are inhabited in our body, we'd meet our goal in one time around. Okay, let's see what else. Okay, so the giving is going pretty good so far. I'm not going to report numbers. We usually just say, like, about percentages. I think we're about 68% of the way there, which is fantastic. Yeah. So give yourselves a hand and a round of applause. So whatever we don't get to in the annual appeal, then we just kind of come back and do it in different ways through the year. So that's why we're, you know, if we finish it this time, then we can be done with that. You can always give, though. So if you pledge circumambulations, in-kind donations, you offer service like sweeping or doing things at the center, or you give financially, what is it that if you give $5,000 or you sweep, what do you get besides the teachings and everything? What is your gift? So it's all things equal. you get a mug, whatever you do. And so you have this beautiful mug that says, the present is that elusive moment between what no longer exists and what has not yet happened. We thought that might be poignant for this year. And David Strievel and I, raise your hand, David. We're going to sit outside. Well, not outside. It's too cold. We're going to sit at computers today. So finally, we've heard you guys. We're going to offer some help to get online and pledge and give, or just pledge, or just get signed up. Or just look into your account and go, what the heck, I made a mistake, I don't know how to fix it. What's my email? You know, all the questions you might have, we're just going to sit down with you for a while during the Sunday tea and offer help. If David doesn't know how to do it, he's going to ping him to me. If I don't, I'm going to ping him back and forth to David. So I'm going to be at my, you'll have to visualize a big office in my little cubby. David's going to be by the Sunday tea at the desk that in front of the lobby, in the middle of the lobby. And so please come up and ask us to help. Is anybody, are you guys comfortable if I just read a few names of people who pledged but not yet given, and you may not know that? Is that okay with you guys? Okay. So the people, a short list of pledges that have been given but not updated yet is Susan Daniel, Rebecca Zubich, Royden Saw, and Sandy Carlson, which represents most of the board, because they told me they wanted to update their pledges, so I updated them. So now we're asking that they go in and change their giving. So these are pledges that were given, whether it's on paper or in realm, but you may not have known that you haven't actually given yet. So we've always talked about there's two steps to this. So Mark Blinderman, Kevin Murphy, Bronwyn Fullington, Claudia Choza, Dom Mir, and Viviani Cross. So we'll help you do that. So if that's something that you didn't know how to do or you didn't know that you didn't do it, we will help you do it today. And let's see what else. Who needs an annual appeal packet? Gary, could you hand these out to anybody if you raise your hand? Gary will hand you one. And that's it. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the Sunday tea.
If you mind, if I say a few words, please. I just want to say, you know, like, thank you for all the donors. And also, there are many, many people, you know, who contributed, because the very environment that we enjoy, everything here, you know, so many people put so many, you know, like, time and so many dedications, you know. So I just want to thank each and every one of you who contributed here at the center. And also just want to let you know, because some of you may not know, I just come here, teach, that's all I do. You know, I don't control the finance, I have no clue, you know, how much money has been raised. This whole board is set, who take care all the finance thing. I don't get involved. And right from the beginning, very first day I came here, I told them, I don't want to get involved in the money things. Very first day I came here in North Carolina, I told them very clearly. So I don't want to get involved. I don't have any control over all the donations that you give here. So we all get benefit. This, you know, I'm just, you know, like, so that's why some people may think, oh, this is, oh, Gijigele Center. It's not my center. It's our center. Whoever comes here, it's, oh, I'm just one of the members who comes here to teach. So all of us, you know, this is our center. So I just want to let you know that, you know, so I, and also, no, so the lady who donated this floor, gone long before now, a couple of years ago. And she said, you know, her mother gave her light, Dharma gave her eye. So she donated this floor, whole floor. No, she's now gone. So so because of this, that's just an example, because of the contributions that you provide here, and everybody get benefit. So, and your presence here, and all the teachers who teach Discovering Buddhism class, Buddhism Nutshell, all the people who work for the prison project, and like outreach, you know, like delivering the food for the food bank, and you donate the food here that we bring to the food bank, and all of that. So I just want to say, end of the year, beginning of tomorrow is the New Year's, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, each and every one of you, okay? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So they enjoy tea. So the weather is not something enjoyable, just but enjoy tea. Okay, yeah. Thank you.